to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I am your scare compare. Join me now, won't you?
What's so funny? Well, hello, friends. This is Scary Hardy White, because Halloween is almost upon us, and it's almost All Hallows' Eve, and so it's All Hallows' Eve. And when it's something like that, when it's an Eve or an Eve, or a post-Eve, then it's a very special day, because you're either preparing or unwinding from the holiday. And we're getting geared up now for Halloween. And what's so special about Halloween? Halloween is about staring the season of death, which is what winter is, right in the face. Now, it's so funny, because if you have a business or if you're a professional Santa Claus, it's really the season of making most of your money. It's like if you're a construction worker and you've got that little window of nice weather and you get all that done, you make all your money then, and then you blow it on cocaine for the rest of the year and then do it again. Well, Santa Claus does that too. And so it's not always a season of death, but usually it is. And you look out in your yard and you will see all sorts of things dying, like, you know, your roses and your neighbors and all that kind of thing. That's because all things must pass. And this is not something we knew before George Harrison left the Beatles. Up to then we thought, hey, let it be. And then he was like, no, all things must pass out of you. And Paul McCartney should have swallowed that weed when he went to Japan. He wasn't listening to George. But all things must pass away. And that's some, we go to some cemetery sometimes because I'm looking for a memento mori.
I don't know if he's here. I've seen a mori. There's a mori Amsterdam.
No. I mean, to remember that you die, to kind of face it, look at the difficult things and scary things. And that's why we have Halloween. And we have the children. Say, children, you're going to face your fears like floating fruit. Ooh, you're going to put your face in water like you're going to waterboard yourself. For what? Your least favorite fruit. And so you get your teeth in there. And then another thing, what are you scared of? Dress up like your things you fear, like Casper. Or other horrible things like that, that make you, and you, if you face them and you become the scary thing, then it's not as scary. And unfortunately, a lot of people have embraced that, and that's why we have people that are monsters. Say, well, I'd rather be the monster. But I don't know if that's a good lesson. I don't know if I blame Maurice Sendak for that, but that's what he was telling that child, say, just be a like, if you're a monster, rather than change your ways and try to socialize with the people you're around, just find the island of monsters. And I think that's where we are today, is that, oh my goodness, you know, the monsters found one another, which is fine on the ween of the Halloween, where you get sometimes you get lucky, you get a solid one. I'm thinking of chocolate bunnies, but I guess it's the same with anything. Sometimes it's hollow. Sometimes there's some sort of something in it, filling. And other times it's just more solid chocolate. And I hope that's what this show is for you today. You're going to get a lot of tricks as well as treats. Now, I hope the whole show for you is a treat, because the whole show is also a trick. And I know, unfortunately, that word has some terrible synonyms we're going to forget and just think about the things that trick meant when we were kids, which meant to light someone's house on fire or throw poo or something innocent. And a lot of times they would do that on the night before Halloween, which in New Jersey, which is where the show is oozing from. I'm trying to think of Halloween words. Like, I would say broadcast, I'd say ooze, oozing from. So in New Jersey, on the night before Halloween, they have something called Blank Night. Blank Night. Fat Hardy was so fat, he forgot what Blank Night is called. So I don't know if it's called Devil's Night or Mischief Night or something like that. They'll have names for it. Pork Roll Night, and then or Taylor Ham Night, some call it. It depends on where in New Jersey you're from. But then they go out on that night, and they'll throw like a whole pork roll through your window, which is kind of destructive. I don't know why they thought those were like practical jokes back in the day. A lot of times they'd put, they would shove like an egg in your tailpipe. And then you start your car, and the warmth would have hatched it, and you'd fire a baby chick out of your, that's horrible. They'd live. But people were starting their cars and firing chickens everywhere. There'd be chickens flying. Again, they lived. I don't know why. I guess something about like acclimating them to a tailpipe is you know, I don't know how that works. It's Lysenkoism, maybe. What are you talking about? My goodness, it's Halloween. Just be scared. Don't try to figure things out. Just scream, succumb to your fears. Normally I'd say do the opposite, but it's the spooky Halloween season. I'd say give in, let yourself be terrified. You go to these, this terrible time. I took my Overcoming Your Fears class to a haunted mansion, and they were so disappointed. And I was like, y'all, sometimes you have to just let them rip, let those fears rip. I noticed that you would walk up and you'd go, you know, you're not a real screaming corpse. To the high school student that was trying his best, just, you know, go startle. Let yourself be startled sometimes in life. Let yourself be terrified. And I think that Hardy White is a great person to be scared of, because there's lots of reasons to be scared of me. Oh, I'm terrifying. I could be undead. All the living are undead, so there's that. And if you are in your, I'm in my early, I mean, what they call pre-senescence. And so I am starting to deteriorate, which is great. But mostly now it's just mental. Some of it's physical, like all the things that pad my joints, all that connective tissue that made the bones not rub together. I just have less of it. And apparently it, like the humors, is connected to an emotion. And this emotion would be patience. So as the padding between my joints subsides, so does my patience. But I try to bring it back and say, hey now, Hardy, you must understand that we are all fearful creatures. We are afraid of each other. We are afraid of ourselves. We are afraid of monsters. We are afraid of our monstrous selves. We can see what others do, and we can look at someone and you can say, oh God, I'm terrified of you, mainly because I feel like your bad choices are manifest physically. And I can look at you and say, uh-oh, you know. And I think that's how can you spot it? Flak vest or something. A lot of times you'll say, well, what's that all about? Or, you know, if people have too many things strapped onto them, say, uh-oh, are you going to use one of those on me? I always think that. You know, if somebody has the only tool you have is a hammer, then every problem is a nail. And I always say that, you know, if every tool you have is a weapon, then every problem you have is me, probably, maybe. Who knows? I don't know. I'm susceptible to them. If you cut me, do I not bleed? I'm just going to save you the research. Yes. They said, do your own research. No. Trust me, you don't need medical professionals for that. You know what you don't need doctors to do? I need doctors for a lot of things. What I don't need them in my country club. I know that sounds harsh, but I feel like they have their own country clubs. I don't really have a country club, but I'd feel bad if I was with a doctor and he's a doctor, like he's a surgeon, and he's beating me at golf. I don't know that's fair. I'd like to be with my peers, who are, a lot of them are primates. All of my peers are. Some of them are what they call lesser apes, and they are literal gibbons, who are a menace on the golf course, but also, I'm glad they're with me. You know what I mean? If you've ever seen that film of Dick Cavett, and he's with John Cassavetes and Ben Gazzara and Peter Falk, and they've had all the alcohol that there is, and they drank it all. They drank it all down, and they are staggering, like butt grab drunk. Like, they literally are grabbing each other, wrestling, and falling down. And Dick Cavett, who just did like maybe half a bump before he came out, is like, I don't know what to do. So it's seeing like that kind of chaos says Halloween to me a lot of times. You realize that life is out of your control. And sometimes it's just I thought you were Columbo. I felt safe around you. I had no idea that you were just a blind, staggering, blind drunk a lot of the times. And that is, that's lovely. Life is complex like that. You know, I thought about that. The other day I was haunted by a skeleton. Skeleton come to me. All put together again, as in life. Because, you know, if you've ever dug somebody up and you got their skeleton, it's all, they don't hold together. I don't know why, but it don't hold together once the meat's gone. Like any barbecue. Right, am I right? Once the meat's gone, if everybody leave. So the skeleton come to me, and he's standing there in all his bony, chucky boneness. And he says to me, hold it, my chucky bones. He says, do you know who I am? And I go, oh, I hate relatives who do that. I used to have older relatives do that when I was, do you remember me? No, I don't remember you. I was 2 years old when I last saw you, great uncle moron. But it wasn't, it was my grandfather. I said, Grandpa, I didn't recognize you without your meat on. He goes, yeah, I don't have no flesh with me. And I said, all right, would you like a suit? Yeah, you got one? I go, yeah, I got it. But put a suit on you, a skeleton in a suit. He goes, you got any armor? And I said, no, I don't got no armor. And he said, I like that Longfellow poem. I said, what Longfellow poem? And he said, skeleton in armor, and because it's Halloween, you should read it. I don't have it on me. The skeleton in armor, I'd seen him in there, and what? I don't remember it. I don't have it memorized. I read it a lot as a child, and I have read it on the air. And I hope that you were terrified. I don't even know if it was Halloween. Sometimes my show doesn't fall on Halloween. Again, it falls on a Jersey Devil night or something like that. Now, the Jersey Devil is a cryptozoologist, and he teaches at Rutgers, and they call him that because he smells like sulfur, but bless him, it is some colon thing. Listen, he does a lot of research into animals that people spot that think are otherworldly, and you'll see them all the time, like in Lake Champlain, they got Champ. This is what I don't understand, okay? Lake Champlain, am I saying it right? Champlain, and the monster's called Champ or Champ? Well, Champ sounds like Shemp. And I don't think there's a monster called Shemp, except there is. Oh, I'm so excited! So, I got my own horror show, and I have, going to debut it today. And it's going to play a horror movie for you. Now, if you've seen all the historic hosts, like Vampira or whatever, and Cassandra Peterson, and Ernie Anderson. Why am I saying their real names? And Sven Gulli. Gulardi was Ernie Anderson. And, of course, he is the father of PTA. Now, I'm hosting this show, and I've come up with a character. Now, all the names are taken, and I think the one I took is taken. But what are you going to do? And I went through all the ghoul names and everything. I don't know. Ghouler Deli Chocolate was one of those. That's not even a name. So I settled on the Bubba Yaga, and I thought that sounded scary. And so I want you to join me now to listening to the debut of the Baba Yaga show and the movie of the night, Dr. Feinkenstein's Shempster. Oh, I hope you enjoy it.
WFMU Channel 1. Stay tuned for the Baba Yaga show.
It's the Baba Yaga here. So great that so many of you are joining us. So many dead and undead and living and barely living and living but super unfulfilled. All of you matter. And I love when you send in pictures of your lovely rotting faces. I guess they're rotting. If you're watching this show, you're in some state of decay.
It's a commonwealth of decay.
I stand corrected, or rather I lie in a coffin corrected, because that's spookier.
Death doesn't have to be gross or scary.
You're right, Marty Maggot.
It's natural for me to eat your eyes out.
That's right. But not yet, Marty, because we want the folks to use their skull grapes to view a horror movie that'll scare the pants off of them.
That's why I don't wear pants, because I startle easily.
Listen, tonight's movie is really interesting. It's called Feinkenstein's Shempster, and it stars a very young Burt Lancaster as Three Stooge Larry Fine, who, distraught after the death of Shemp, tries to reanimate the dead stooge, who here is played by Edward Everett Horton.
That sounds scary.
It's scary in that it's a biting critique of science and medicine. And at the same time, it's a strange sort of meta-parody.
I hope there's gross or transgressive parts.
I think there's a lot of body horror. I don't want to spoil it, but reanimated Shemp gets his head caught in a pants press. Oh, and there's an adjustable pipe wrench up the nose scene. Other recognizable faces are Kathleen Freeman.
If you could get Kathleen Freeman, you've got gold. You can go to the bank with whatever you were doing.
And Bert Mustin.
Hi, Sonny.
And did you know that Mary Shelley, author of the original Frankenstein, the inspiration for tonight's movie, was the daughter of philosopher William Godwin, the first anarchist?
I read Caleb Williams and it sucked.
It did suck. Notice she used her dead mom's name as her middle name.
Noted.
Feinkenstein's Shemper.
Oh, Shemp, I'm mourning you.
Larry, it's not healthy to go on like this. Shemp is gone now. You must deal with your grief and move on.
But I've got all these science gadgets. I can use them to bring old Shemp back to life. He's sure not looking so hot, though.
Just please come upstairs and have a hot toddy.
I'll have a hot toddy as soon as I can revive my pal's corpse. Slow-mo, get me my instruments.
Yes, Dr. Larry.
Mishigas.
Mishigas.
Anakanapuna.
Anakanapuna.
portable imaging ultrasound with a curvilinear probe.
The gray one?
Gray?
It has a gray stripe.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Now, let's hook up the probes. One on each hand, one on each foot, one on each shoulder.
We're not doing the ones on the...
No, I thought better of it.
I was wondering.
And the head thing, for Shemp's head, that conducts electricity into his brain.
Brain?
His brain is still in there, isn't it?
In where?
His head.
He had a brain in there?
Maybe. Let's put some extra in there, in case some of it's dried up since his fatal stroke.
That was sad.
That was sad as hell, Slow-Mo. It messed me up a lot.
Me too.
Well, it's not about you. Right now, it's about bringing our boy Shemp back to life from the land of the dead.
That sounds iffy.
It does sound iffy. Oh, well, are you ready? On my signal. Oh, we stuck our little tootsies in the water, and we ducked under the waves, we did. Aha, pull the switch.
He's
I'm alive. I'm quite alive.
We know, Mo, we know enough. Shemp, we brought you back because, well, we need to finish at least two pictures, but you died.
Well, this is a most unusual situation. I feel remarkably well for someone I know should be dead. Why, pray tell, am I not dead?
Larry?
I know, Slow-Mo. Maybe we put too much brain in him. We'll whack him over the head with a frying pan.
You'll do no such thing, I protest. Be-be-be-be-be.
Oh, the original Shemp is still in there.
Is he, though, Slow-Mo?
Whoops. Seems like Larry didn't like Shemp's performance and panned it.
Oh, you're the king of comedy. I wish I could crown you.
If the actor playing Slow-Mo sounded and looked familiar, it's because that was Alan Reed, the voice of Fred Flintstone.
I dare you! Bite it!
Oh, he rocks.
And Larry's housekeeper, Mrs. Pessel, is played by Belinda Blurb from The Mozahowitz Show.
Another Mo. That Slow-Mo guy should be ostracized. You know, a Slow-Mo shun.
I'm going to call that joke Manny and Jack because I hope there ain't no Mo.
Oh, Larry, geez.
Now it's time to answer mail from our viewers. Bring me the mailbag, Remainzio.
Yes, Master.
And stop calling me that. You know I quit at my undergraduate degree.
Yes, Bachelor.
That's better. Let's reach in the mailbag and pull out a letter. This one says, Dear Bubba Yaga, I love your show. You and Marty Maggot, Remainzio, Wolfman Leibowitz, and the whole gang. But me and my friends would like to know if the undead at the mortuary have trouble sleeping because of all the coughing. Signed, your pal, Emma. Emma, like the old saying goes, a door is not ajar, a house is not a home, and a casket is annoying because it's always a coffin.
How do we even have viewers? Nothing we do seems to chase them away. What are we doing wrong, Bubba?
Bubba, I have a riddle.
What is it, Remainzio?
What do you call it when you're more monst?
Monster? Oh, you should never try to get me to cry Wolfman like that, Remainzio.
Sorry, Master.
I'll pretend it didn't happen, which is easy because I don't remember what we were just talking about.
I think you were about to scream because it's time for a commercial.
Ooh, terrifying.
Tonight on Channel 1 News at 11, are sharp things safe? Our consumer watchdog investigates. And News Team 1 explores the rough and tumble world of cosmetic farms. I'm Josh Tuller. Join me, June Crocker, and News Team 1 for news that slaps when you need slapping. In a world where small is big, Cadillac breaks the mold and enlarges the mind. With 8-cylinder dual exhaust turbo cam power spread, the Elanto Aventus runs laps around the competition in luxury power and soundability. There's no two Cadillacs with the same personality, but the 1985 Rack Jangle Monster ride options are fast-paced luxury automobile for the other guy. Cadillac. All car.
I bought three scooters I didn't need, so I needed cash fast.
If you need cash fast, Third Mortgage Century Company can help.
I gave money to my grandson who needed help, but it wasn't my grandson, so I had to sell my house.
If you're over the age of 75, have equity in your existing home, and are kind and vulnerable, you may qualify for up to 3 times what your home is worth.
I was able to pay the ransom money and get Cupcake back. I love that little fella. He's my only friend.
You have more money than you think you have. If you own your home and have been in it for decades, that equity can be accessed quickly by Third Mortgage Century with a quick title transfer you can do right over the phone.
I signed my house over to Lance at Third Mortgage. It gave me peace of mind.
Third Mortgage Century Company is a licensed and operated leverage-insured banker-like vendor who can be there for you to solve your financial problems. Look, you have lived long enough and worked too hard to worry. Let Third Mortgage do the talking.
It's worth every penny, is it? Go ahead and laugh it up all you want. Celebrate, celebrate. You wouldn't be laughing if you saw what I saw up at Frankenstein's castle. No. I seen Shump.
Shemp? Well, that's impossible. Shemp's dead.
I know what I seen.
It couldn't have been him.
I only seen him from behind, but I know that head shape anywhere. It was Shemp, I tell you. They brung him back to life.
After he died, and Mo got hit on the head too hard and became slow-mo, Larry never was the same.
They say he's gone mad.
Not so mad he can't reanimate a corpse.
A monster Shemp.
A Shempster.
Frankenstein's Shempster. We have to all go together, all of us, up to Frankenstein's castle and stop this abomination.
Question. I'm not sure if castle is an architectural designation. Well, that it has a specific definition, but I always thought of the place as being more of a chateau.
All right.
Yeah, and Finkelstein isn't the name. It's Feinberg. Yeah.
All right, okay. Feinberg Chateau. That sounds really scary.
They could still be a threat and not have to be a type.
That's granted.
All right, who has pitchforks?
I have a pitchfork. Look how far I can pitch it.
Wow. That's not a pitchfork, Brad. That's a cocktail fork for cocktail shrimp.
Or oysters.
Oysters.
Who has a torch? No one?
Hey, we could make a torch by taking a pole and then strapping a torch to the end and lighting it.
Good idea. Are you with me? Who's ready to storm the chateau and kill what we don't understand?
I always thought that a pitchfork was something you use to tune your axe.
And in the UK, a torch is a flashlight.
They're just about the worst-equipped angry mob you could hope for. That crusty fella stirring up trouble was character actor Arthur Honeycutt.
Maybe he's angry because when you get a certain age, the plumbing doesn't work like it used to.
I'll show you. I can still go.
I believe you.
Well, glad to hear it.
Some of the story of Frankenstein's Shempster is based on fact, since Shemp really did die suddenly in 1955, while the Three Stooges still had 2 or 3 more short subjects films due on their contract with Columbia. In order to finish the films, they used previously shot footage from other comedies as well as new footage
using a Columbia actor named Joe Palma, filmed from behind as a Shemp double, the so-called fake Shemp.
As well as some scenes containing the animated corpses of both Shemp and Curly.
No, that part is made up. As far as we know, Moe didn't have a brain injury, and Larry never went crazy.
Unless he wanted the ponies, then he acted weird.
Look at that. And I just happen to have a nipple with me. See? So you can have it.
Cold-hearted orb that rules the night and terrorize y'all's neighborhood. Danger lurks just everywhere, like in the darkest dungeon wood. He gives his ankle bones a shake to ask if there is some mistake. The spirit's trapped in spooky gloom, the gloomy glommy glibbidoom. The skeleton rose like this and shook his bony nasty fist. The fingers flew into the sky. His tongue was made into a type of spooky, disgusting tongue pie. Behold, said the ghost chorus, we sing of demons and scary things. Listen now to the creaky creaks, the dingies and the pings. All these sounds come from the grave. Arise, they do, like muffins. You wonder how the spirits deal with demon zombie puffins and other animals that have been enchanted or something like that, or living dead. I see the dead, I see the wise, I see them all in hell. I wring this nose, I wring this ear, I wring them like a skin bell. But all the people with all the bags of candy do come by. And everything is peaceful again. Bye.
Why did you call me so late, Smolder? What's so urgent?
Come here, Sulky. Look at this.
It's a microscope.
No, look into the microscope.
Smolder, if this is one of your tricks...
Just look into the microscope. No, use the eyepieces.
Oh. Ow!
No, approach it slowly. Put your head down slowly. And then look in. You can focus with the knob.
What am I looking at, Smolder? It looks like sperm.
Those are alien homunculi, tiny humanoids the size of a single cell.
Oh, come on.
Look again, Sulky. You can see their tiny faces.
Oh, Jesus.
See?
Oh, God. Oh, that's horrifying. Kill them with bleach.
No, Sulky, calm down. They don't mean any harm.
Then why are they like some sort of nightmarish yokai? I need to sandblast my visual memory somehow. Oh, and erase this cursed image.
They're just tiny creatures who no more want to be here than you want them here.
Then why are they here? Where did you find them?
They were in my bodily fluids.
Get the bleach.
No, Sulky. My tears. They were in my tears.
I thought I'd been seeing giant faces in my vision, blurry ones. So I examined my tears under a microscope and found the homunculi people of the Strawbird Galaxy.
You know where in the universe they're from? Did you communicate with them?
Not exactly. But where else could they be from? And why else would they be here? Then they know that this is the week the Secretary of Commerce meets with the Austrian Prime Minister.
Why is that important?
How would we know? But if you had access to all the information in the universe, past and present, then you'd know which were the pivotal events in history and might even be tempted to alter the course of history as a way of benefiting your planet or society. I think the tiny sperms with faces are here because we are about to erase trade barriers with a country that has more chocolate per capita than anywhere on Earth or the universe.
That's a stretch, Smulder.
Maybe. But what if I'm wrong? And you saw their hideous, concerned faces.
Oh, Smulder. Just this once. What do you want me to do?
I don't know. But when I do know, I am going to need you to. Now, look at this.
Are these slides?
Yes, slides of an autopsy.
On your vacation?
I never said anything about my vacation.
You said slides of your vacation.
No, I didn't.
Just go.
24-year-old female found in a field with these marks on her. Any idea what they are?
Vampire bites? Cigarette burns? A tattoo of bite marks? An injury from a pitched cocktail fork?
You think Tynes did that?
I don't know. I don't usually diagnose corpses from vacation slides.
Those are alien finger poke marks. Like from a space stooge.
The Bubba Yaga here. You know what's scary? When you show an episode of The Extra Files instead of the next part of Feinstein's Shempster.
Let's pretend that didn't happen.
Like Bishop Barclay says, it doesn't exist if you don't see it.
I don't see it, you don't see it, be it, clear it, hear it, me it.
But since you might have caught a peek and are curious, in ancient alchemy, it was thought you could make a homunculus, a tiny person, with putrefied sperm.
Why do you bring up a thing like that?
Oh, God, that's horrifying. I'm not even going to begin to pun.
Same. Moving on. The part of Dara Sulky is played by Bettina Blurb, the daughter of Belinda Blurb from Feinstein's Monster and Mozahowitz Show. And Cock Smulder is played by John Davidson, looking like Mike Smitty.
Oh, he died tragically.
Is there a joke in there I'm missing?
No, I'm just trying to unlighten the mood.
I'm not trying to be funny right now.
Sometimes you just gotta make a comment that doesn't have a point or go anywhere. Like one time I was sitting in a restaurant.
And?
The man sitting next to me was Hitler.
Nothing. I was just sitting in a restaurant, thinking about what I could order.
You rang, Master?
No, I was just telling Marty the restaurant story.
Oh, I love that one.
Boy, the audience must be really entertained by our banter.
I've always been great fans of the three of you, I really have.
Well, there's nothing scarier than banality. A zombie told me that as he was chewing glass and spitting lit rum at me.
We need more stories like that.
Well, we do have our movie to get back to, and it's frightening. How, you ask? Well, it's so poorly made, it shakes your confidence in the system. Maybe no one knows what they're doing, and we're all doomed. So we're going to get right back to our movie, right after these commercials.
Well, I hope.
Special occasion? Country-style Happy Crackers are there. Snacking and watching TV? Country-style Happy Crackers are there, too. Everywhere you go, and whatever the occasion, you'll find country-style Happy Crackers. If it's packed with crackers, it's country-style Happy Crackers.
Drink your coffee, you disgusting pig!
Leave me alone, you harpy battle axe!
What did I do to deserve you?
It's a shared hell, believe me!
Gladys, Tom, it doesn't have to be this way. Try Dove Brand coffee. It brings peace.
Hey, that's really good. And calming.
Mmm, it is. You want more, Tom?
Yeah, I do. And more of you.
Oh, Tom. Dove brand coffee. It brings peace to your kitchen table.
Every Thursday is Goofy Thursday on WFMU.
So this spooky old place is where your investigating has led us.
Yeah, Sulky. This is the residence of Dr. Fine. Locals describe him as a vaudevillian and mad scientist. He's been accused of reanimating his dead partner. I think he's a good candidate for the origins of the homunculi experiments.
Wow, those are some doors.
Yes, and those enormous knockers.
I know. Why are they shaped like human breasts?
I don't know. I told you he was eccentric.
Do you touch them or?
Well, no, there's a doorbell. I'm gonna use the doorbell.
Hello.
Oh, good evening, ma'am. Sorry to disturb you. I'm Agent Smolder, and this is Agent Sulky.
I'm a PhD MD. Good for you.
And we're with the FBI.
Bikini inspectors?
No, federal agents.
Oh, come on in. Do you have any warrant?
Well, we aren't here officially.
No, no. I mean the band. Do you have any of their albums?
No.
Then never mind. I was going to point something out. What can I help you with?
Does a Dr. Fine live here?
Yes, Larry. He's quite the mad scientist.
Is he?
Yes. He's currently trying to reanimate Shemp.
Who's Shemp?
Oh, of course you wouldn't know who that is. Larry had a comedy act with Shemp and Shemp's brother Mo. Well, now he's slow-mo, but that's another story. Anyway, Shemp died, and now Larry is obsessed with bringing him back to life. He says it's just business, but I think he really loved Shemp.
Where can we find them?
Well, they're in the lab, probably. Oh, here's Shemp now.
Oh, I see we have company. Hello, Mary.
Hi, Shemp. I was just telling these FBI agents about you.
Well, I certainly don't need my bikini inspected.
No, sir. We were wondering if we could ask you a few questions. This is Sulky speaking.
Well, I would love to answer your questions, and I don't know if this is going to be one, but the answer would be Rudy Gernreich's monokini. But really, I must be going. I told a friend I would attend the opera with them, and it's going to take me forever to hail a cab in this weather.
Well, maybe some other time.
See ya, Shemp.
Cheerio.
Nice guy, but I thought you said he was dead.
Wait a minute!
Shemp! 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 You didn't let him go, did you?
Yes, he just left for the opera.
No! No! Who are you people?
We're bikini inspectors.
Ah, baloney. You're the feds. I've done nothing wrong, except reanimate a corpse and then lose control of him.
Oh, don't be so hard on yourself, Larry.
This is Sulky. Is Shemp capable of causing harm or worse?
Nah, of course not. But that face, he'll scare children. And if he goes to the opera, oh, Shemp hated opera. I have no idea how his nervous system will react.
Oops, I'm back. I forgot my coat.
Oh, hey, Shemp.
Shemp?
All right. Well, this is an awkward goodbye again, but goodbye again. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, he got away again.
Dr. Fine, I'm not sure he's a threat, but what I am worried about are homunculi.
Oh, yeah, well, I put an alien race in the water supply, and they're reproducing in your tear ducts. Sorry.
Hi, I'm Taylor Michaels for Human Health. In 4,000 countries across the globe and all over the United States, hospitals, pharmacies, doctor's offices, healthcare providers, and contractors. If you're 55, 65, or 105, healthcare, drug prices, doctor costs, and even supplemental insurance are a real thing. 30, 50, 80%, and with dividends and extended treatment plans meeting each health and health provider and patient benefits with a variety of needs. Your doctor, your pharmacist, providers and medical services, treatment options for each. 50% part of the dollar amount of care. Human health is an important part of life. Let's keep living. Human health.
Baba Yaga here. What's up with that last part of the movie? You got 80s sci-fi TV in my 30s horror movie.
And you got 30s horror movie on my 80s sci-fi TV, like it's spit.
Well, that was an unintended mashup. We played both at once, and they synced up like the Wizard of Oz and that Warrant album. Anyway, you got to see both mother and daughter blurbs, Belinda and Bettina. Maybe we used the time machine instead of the tape player, and that's what went wrong.
Well, I did see the microwave had a button that said stop time, so I pushed it.
Ah, that was probably it. Anyway, it was a nice ending to a classic horror movie, Dr. Feinkenstein Shempster, a love story. If you could bring anyone back from the dead, Marty, who would it be?
I would have to say Lazarus, so I can hear him say, again?
I would bring back all of the dead and create a chaotic hell on Earth.
Aw, that's a lovely thought.
Yeah, no corpse left behind.
No left behind either. I seen half a tushy on the ground the other day.
Oh, and like I'm sure you said, I know that's not all of it, but that's still the end. Good night, creeps.
Yeah, rest restlessly.
I'm terrified. I really am, man. I'm scared now. Now I'm afraid.
Of what?
I'm afraid that I'm not funny. No, I know I'm not. I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid of anything. My goodness, I am. I let myself be afraid because, like I said, I bought a ticket to this fun house, and gosh darn it, I'm bound and determined to be confused.
If I enter a house of mirrors and I look down, and I see that I could probably navigate using the carpet, you know, because I can see where the mirrors are and everything. I get really mad at myself. And often I will wear blinders or I will close my eyes in a house of mirrors and just go slick. Because the point for me is slamming into the glass really hard, face first, like a bird. Makes me feel free like a bird when my face hits a pane of glass like that. I just popped the mic, too. Everything is, it feels like the rules are different right now. Everything is crazy. It's topsy-turvy day. And that's the way Halloween is.
Now, are you a person that likes to dress up as something scary? Somebody maybe had their face removed by an animal or something? Or do you like to be some kind of fantasy thing? Say, I want to be a Prussian officer. Or, oh, I want to be, you know, a German general. It's, you know, oh, I want to dress up as like, you know, as the Kaiser. I don't know. I can't think. I'm having a hard time thinking of costumes. A knight. I won't dress up like King Richard. Gosh, I'm having a hard time with this. Those are not great fantasies. But you know what I'm saying. Now, In Britain, I had a very confusing conversation with Vicky one time because I guess I was very old before I had heard that in British English, fancy dress doesn't mean your fancy dress. Like, let's say you're watching an episode of Little House on the Prairie, and the fella there, Oogie Orwitz or whatever his name is, says, hey, we're having a barn dance. Yeah. And little blonde girl next door. Yeah, I want you to wear a fancy dress. All right, wear your fancy dress. Okay. And she comes in, and she'd be in a flowered floral dress. But that's not what they mean. They mean a costume party. So if you were wearing your fancy floral dress, they go, oh, you came as little orphan girl, whatever, Anna Green Gables. That would be a good, God, that'd be, what an incredible costume that would be, Anna of Green Gables. I seen somebody come one time as Raggedy Ann. They didn't know they had. I said, you supposed to be Raggedy Ann? And they said, what are you talking about? real mad like that. But boy, they looked, I thought it was either that or the Wendy's spokesperson. I don't know. I don't want to misgender him because it could be Carrot Top. I can't tell from the sign. My eyes are bad. I see what I see. It's a blur. If you wanted to go as to different parties, as different costumes from fast foods and everything, what would you do? You could be, there's a chicken place that has a cow. That's the thing with it, where you're standing up and your udders are displayed prominently. I've got a little bit of a problem with that. I'm not a prude, but I don't want milk aimed at me. Another thing you could do is maybe be the Colonel Sanders. And I'm not sure he was problematic, but God dang it, he looks it, doesn't he? You say, that can't be Colonel wearing that. That doesn't look good. What is that lovely house you're sitting in front of? It looks like you got a whole plantation behind that house, even there, Colonel. What that means, I don't even know. So I don't know about that. So many local folks make chicken. Sometimes I don't have to mess with the chains. They call them chains because you'll be shackled by them, weighed down. You know, they are fettered. You'll be fettered to this, you know, food that what it does is it erases your culture geographically. Because it used to be you'd go to places and they'd have things they ate there. This is Anthony Bourdain. Didn't want to live in a world that wasn't like that anymore. You go to a place and you sample their food and say, this is what we make here. But the chain is this attempt to do what the mall did and do what other things did, is that you make everything look identical. And there is no regional cultures. There's just one scary thing. So whatever town you go to, you feel like it's your town because you see the chain. And I know I will gravitate towards the chain. Lock me up with your nuggets. Lock me up with your special sauce. I say no. I go to food truck with somebody's name on it. Right? The good one is there's a Three Stooges themed one that I love, and they sell hot dogs and they sell clam chowder. But in the clam chowder, the clam will pop out and squirt you with clam juice. They got that from one of their shows. They do that. They have that. I'm trying to think of other things. Oh, you can get a turkey with a parrot in it, a live parrot in it. That's called terparotin or something like that. Don't eat it. It's not for eating. It's for being scared of. So what happens? The parrot crawls. This is the gag that was done repeatedly in the Three Stooges. They did one with Curly. They did one with Shemp. They might have done more than one with Shemp and Curly. But I know that, and they're the identical routine. It's really lovely to watch. And but what happens is the parrot goes into the turkey. And then, I'm going to carve the turkey now, Mo. And then when you go to carve the turkey, the parrot goes, wah, wah, wah. You know, pay off. So it's alive. Now, here's the thing. Ghosts do scare me. Would a chicken ghost scare me? Would a turkey ghost? So, you get a glimpse out of your eye. Oh, what's that? I don't think any kind of animal ghost is going to freak me out as much as maybe a person. And I'm nothing against animals. But especially poultry. Poultry ghosts? I'm surprised I'm not covered with them. Just them pecking at me. You know? From years of that. I don't want any dead animals mad at me that much. I try not to eat any I can't take in a fight. So, I don't know. I might have. You know, somebody trick you into eating alligator? When you're in Florida, you go, taste this. What is it? It's yam. That's the word. Not even, you know, I'm vegetarian. Yeah, just eat it. It's alligator. Well, it tastes like reptile. It's weird how that is. I don't My goodness, let's not talk about eating. I'm not, right now I'm not hungry because it's Halloween and I've been thinking about all the creepy crawly things that was all Rime of the Ancient Mariner has that line about all the things that may be under you, all the in the sea, all the creepy things under you. Now imagine it's that, except it's not the sea, it's another dimension. And so there's all these creepy, slimy, creepy things just on the other side of a invisible curtain. But it's all there. You're covered with these weird beings that are walking through you and around you. How's that? Just like the ocean, there's a deep darkness that you are unaware of. And through you go the ghosts, not just ghosts, but strange creatures, blah, 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 with horrible faces. Is that good? I don't want to scare you too much. There's children listening. Children get scarier stuff everywhere. Here, I'm going to scare you, kids. Guess what? There's a world pudding shortage. I am not even making that up. World pudding shortage. And that's because they found... No, I can't. That's I'm always make a pun on a product, but then I was going to say they found snakes in this one pudding product, and that's... I maybe get in trouble for that. I don't want to spread that rumor. There's not snakes in your pudding. There might be, figuratively, but there probably aren't literally. Oh, bless you so much. You're so good to me. Look at those comments, but you really enjoyed that horror thing, didn't you? Oh my gosh. Are you? I know, I'm doing a tricky trick. You don't know when this is, do you? I mess with time all because of the time travel. I'm very confusing to people. I do want you to know how much I love and appreciate you and how much the station loves and appreciates you. And this is the end of the October Hellraiser where we're asking for some for money. I love when you give it in my name. It keeps, first of all, it doesn't really do anything to keep me on the air other than I need the station. But it's still, I have a lovely, my ego needs constant buffing. It needs stropping. Really. And so I love it. You say, Hardy, this money is for, you know, because I love the Hardy's show, the name of which I've forgotten. So bless you so much. You've been so generous already. But I think that the human heart, the mind, free thinking really needs, we need you all in, army of free thinkers, spreader of ideas. Nothing lasts forever. Let's try to make it. All right. But this is an important time to do our thing, and which is help people unlock the potential of the human imagination. And by doing that, we can see solutions to our fears, ways out of things. We can imagine our way out of suffering, imagine our way out of hunger, imagine our way out of hatred, imagine our way out of bigotry, imagine our way out of ignorance. You must see potential avenues and exits to be able to leave the morass of confusion and find your way to the freedom of the great expanse of human possibility. Oh, my goodness. I thank you so much for being so loyal to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White, for enjoying the Bubba Yaga show, for enjoying... the exceptional clown, Sezu the clown. And I want to tell you, I appreciate you listening to WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope 91.9 in Rockland County and New York City, New York, and online at WFMU.org worldwide freeform radio. It is our pleasure to bring it to you and to keep you company and to keep you sane or insane or whatever you need to be kept. We're keeping you. I thank you again, and I will see you again next week.
Twins name was Ebony. Her name was Mahogany. 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 Twins name was Ebony.
https://wfmu.org. Enter https://wfmu.org into your browser's query field. That's correct. A listener just like yourself can use an internet just like your own to sustain this 24-hour transmission. Please donate today. https://wfmu.org. One half scroll downward, click the words pledge now. From there I will leave it to the spirit to guide you. Dearest listener, my dear generous intelligent listener, October is come. October is come. The Hellraiser in its sidecar. Donate today. October is come. Breezing like a Harley D down that spiraling thoroughfare we call time. The Hellraiser in its sidecar. Palms outstretched in the crisp autumn air, careening into the ever earlier sunset. Please donate today. https://wfmu.org. Enter. https://wfmu.org. Into your browser's query field. That's correct. A listener just like yourself can use an internet just like your own to sustain this 24-hour transmission. Please donate today. https://wfmu.org. One half scroll downward, click the words pledge now. From there I will leave it to the spirit to guide you. Dearest listener, my dear generous intelligent listener, October is come. October is come. The Hellraiser in its sidecar. Donate today. October is come. Breezing like a Harley D down the spiraling thoroughfare we call time. The Hellraiser in its sidecar. Palms outstretched in the crisp autumn air, careening into the ever earlier sunset. Please donate today. https://wfmu.org. Enter https://wfmu.org. Into your browser's query field. That's correct. This is the internet just like you. To sustain this 24-hour transmission, please donate.